Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good Monday morning to you. It's the Breakfast Huddle. It's time now for Why It Matters. You know, recent times have caused major disruptions in the business world.
Yeah, and all across the business world, people are feeling this. According to Gartner's CMO Spend Survey, as brands seek to recuperate from 2 years of uncertainty, marketing leaders, too, are facing some of the sharpest budget cuts in years, some as high as 15% of the total marketing budget.
Yeah, and you've got growing demands of customers. The pandemic also has become a poignant reminder that market turbulence can happen at any time.
So looking ahead, what can marketing managers do to prioritize their various stakeholders? What factors must they consider, especially when they're under pressure to show results amid disruption?
Yeah, and you don't want to fall into the marketing myopia trap as well. On the line with us this morning is Professor Tak Seong Chung, who is Associate Professor of Marketing at Essex Business School Asia Pacific. Prof, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Can you hear me well?
Yes, sir. We can hear you very well. Let's get into this interesting topic of myopia marketing. That's when a business focuses on short-term marketing strategies. Could you share more with us about this concept? How has it evolved over the years?
Okay, that's a great question. It's kind of linked to the research we do at Essex Business School, which actually tried to link what marketing do to the bottom line of a company. So basically, about two decades ago, we linked a company's marketing strategy to stock prices. So basically, coming back to the topic of marketing management, so if you look at the term MAFIC, basically, we're talking about short-sightedness. So basically, in the context of a public listed company, when the company is under pressure to deliver a financial statement that meets prediction, expectation of earnings outcome, so what some firms do is that they will cut investment in marketing in order to improve the bottom line. So it's myopic because you focus on short-term gain, but you sacrifice on long-term gain. So basically, you know that a lot of marketing, what they do is intangible. For example, building brands, customer service, R&D in products, for example. So it's intangible. In fact, it has always been a problem for marketing executives to prove that what they do matters to the bottom line in terms of stock price, for example. So, in fact, a 2005 accounting research paper shows that for CFO, when it comes to crunch, giving a trade-off between improving numbers and investing in even positive NPV, let's say marketing investment, they rather choose that they cut the investment on marketing investment and then to improve bottom line. So it's actually a big problem. Mm. And in fact, in the AMA, which is American Marketing Association, they did a survey 2019 and they interviewed CMO, and then CMO commented that 70% of them actually focus more on short-term performance than long-term performance. So that's a big problem. So that's why that's what the term marketing management is about.
So considering that there are clear downsides to focusing on the short term, shouldn't shareholders change their success metrics? Shouldn't shareholders then say, I'll put my money and confidence behind you if I notice that you are not myopic, that you are taking some steps to get to know your customers and to market to them for the long term?
Okay, that's a complex question. So number one, it has a lot to do with information. So that's why a lot of papers and studies this look at agency theory. Basically, managers in a company has private information that shareholders doesn't have. So basically, shareholders might not have the full picture. And managers in a firm has a lot of leeways in terms of strategies to reach their profit gain, for example. So it has to do with amount of information you have. Number two is in the sense that it has to do with even shareholders themselves. Some institutional shareholders is under pressure to also deliver performance from the share they hold, for example. So even some shareholders are short-term focused in the sense, I don't care about what you do now. You know, show me the numbers in the past, in the recent years, for example. And finally, you must know that a lot of investment in marketing, for example, R&D in your employees, in customer service, for example, has a very long-term kind of return. So when you have something that's long-term, a lot of things come into factor. So you can't control the factor. So there's a lot of uncertainty involved. So that's why you have to make a trade-off. Should I invest in this that have given me long-term return, but it's uncertainty return, or should I cut something in the short term.
Prof, I like how you talked about show me the numbers, right? Because there's always this psychological attraction to manage the bottom line. What would you say when it comes to avoiding that desperation? Is there anything in place to stop companies from avoiding that and continue to market long-term in that sense?
Okay, I like your introduction. You talk about the turbulence and all that. First of all, you must recognize that top executives like CEO, CMO, CFO, they're not stupid. They're quite strategic in a sense. So, for example, in one of the papers that we published, we showed that when the environment is turbulent, in the sense that there's a constant need for you to deliver new products because it's competitive, or basically, let's say, consumer demand keep changing, or your competitors is always, you know, changing strategies. It shows that in those turbulent environments, the propensity for marketing management actually reduces. So in the sense that the firm are actually more strategic. They say, oh, okay, maybe I should cap less on marketing investment because we need that to compete effectively. Some things that board of directors do is, for example, they try to link the compensation of, for example, CEO, top executive, for example, to more long-term performance measure so that, you know, top executive will focus more long-term. So in a way, they'll trade off, okay, what can I gain now versus what can I do in terms of long-term value creation.
Right, so that fine calibration is required, right? So ideally, you should do both short and long-term, but with budgets being limited and even being cut during these times, you've got to really engineer it such that you're making an impact on both fronts. What is the key to starting out right here, though? So let's say someone says, okay, you know, I'm sick of the myopic marketing. Where do I even begin to determine how to set a plan in place that would make everyone happy, including my customers, of course?
Okay. Well, that's just a challenge in the sense that, but increasingly, the nice things about the direction that the marketing industry is moving is that it has moved from very transactional focus to more relationship focus. So for the past decades, we've been talking about customer lifetime value. So basically looking at the long-term profits that customer can give to you. So which means that the focus has shifted from very short-term gain in sales to more long-term in how can I nurture this relationship. So by nurturing relationship, it has to do a lot with product development, customer relationship, improving your employees and giving service, for example. So generally, I think the mindset has changed simply because now the business environment is a lot more competitive versus in the past. I think that's something the company can do. One of the research we do actually, and also look at the personality of the people in charge, namely CEO, CMO, for example. So there are some personality traits that actually make someone more likely to do marketing management. Basically, CEO who's, for example, overconfident, right? When you're overconfident, say, oh, it's okay to cut down short-term investment because I can always make it up by future investment. Also, there's a terminology called regulatory focus. So some CEO, for example, might be more promotion-focused, meaning that, oh, they're more bullish in the sense that if I do this investment, I tend to get more payoff, for example, versus some CEO is more careful, their prevention-focused. So in a way, board of directors can get some signs that there's a personality of the people in charge and to understand the business environment so they'll be more mindful and kind of monitor the situation better.
Prof, I'm sure you've been asked this question a million times, the importance of staying current on market trends. I'd like to rephrase, though. Do you think it's better that that job scope and the importance of that job scope is placed on higher management? Because it's always like some executive in the marketing department will present all these findings and no one really listened to executive, right?
Okay. So another way that prevent market management is, you know, quite intuitively, is actually improve the influence of CMO in the company, right? Lucky or not, CMO doesn't always have a say. Yeah. So I think one way the CEOs, for example, should consciously say that, oh, I should curb my own, for example, overconfidence. So one way is to actually listen to CMO more, because CMO will be more in touch with the market, more in touch with the customers, etc. So he or she will be more in tune with the business environment. So it's good advice for the CMO to pay attention to people who know the market better.
To what extent do you think, though, there are still companies, or most companies perhaps, are still operating in silos. They're not really changing as dynamically as the consumer environment might be changing. What exactly can be done to break down those silos so that the CMOs are indeed more aligned with strategic focus and the people at the top are more aligned with the marketing strategies and getting behind them?
Okay. Basically, there's a concept in academia, and it has to do with something called customer focus and competitor focus. So in siloed, it comes multiple ways. I mean, the worst case scenario is a company that operates without really looking at what's happening out there. There are some companies that are very competitive focused. So basically, they just look at what competitors do and say, oh, why don't I match this and do something else or something equivalent? The other extreme is customer focus. You can't look at what the customer wants and you can't deliver. I think the sweet spot is for company to be in between, both customer focus and competitor focus. Be mindful of what customer wants. It could be through doing research, marketing research, through doing studies, talking to customers, for example, understanding complaints and where it comes from. At the same time, understand what your competitor is doing and then find better ways to compete. I think it all boils down to being, to be conscious of what's happening in the market.
Prof, I mean, by any chance, would you have a case study or in your observation of a company that is doing well from preventing falling into that myopic marketing trap?
I mean, there's a lot of companies, right? In the sense that a lot of great companies, for example, companies that focus on customer service, tend to have that mindset. In the sense that the moment you have this policy of going out and surveying, going out and getting customer service feedback, for example, it can reflect the company mindset in the sense that, hey, what the company says matters, for example. And then, in fact, there's a lot of research that shows that customer service index, for example, I think SMU does that. So in the sense that, and a lot of American institutions do that, in the sense that there's a lot of evidence to show that how well a company serves the customers has impact to the bottom line. If you think about it, how well you serve the customers can influence the future business that customer gives you. So ultimately, that will boil down to the company bottom line, for example. So in a way, a lot of companies that is customer service tend to have this focus of being competitive focused and customer focused.
With so much data flooding companies, I've noticed that some CMOs feel very overwhelmed. They say, look, there's a lot of research out there. There's a lot of data coming in. And we just don't really know how to process it in a way that would make a business case for even more marketing in certain areas or less marketing in other areas to the executive team. What's your advice to CMOs who are going through such challenges at this point?
Well, I think it boils down to finding the right metric, right? In the sense that metric in the sense that it's actually a benchmark. It's actually a way to let you know whether you're moving in the right direction. So looking at what the good metrics out there, for example, customer service is one. For example, brand equity, impression of your brand, how does consumers think about your brand, for example. Those are good metrics to have. I think there's a lot of information out there. I think the key is really understanding what kind of data is insightful and what kind of metrics useful for you to guide your day-to-day strategy.
We've been speaking with Professor Tak Seong Chung, Associate Professor of Marketing for ESSEC Business School Asia Pacific. Prof, thanks so much for your time this morning. You take care and stay safe.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.